This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Days before Palestinian elections, experts say the Palestinian economy is deteriorating. A new report by the World Bank finds that nearly one half of all Palestinians live below the poverty line. One reason is security measures that make it harder for Palestinians to commute to jobs inside Israel. Some Palestinians worry that they could become even poorer as Israel pulls back from Gaza. Israeli officials say that once their forces leave Gaza, they will gradually prevent all Gaza workers from entering Israel. Here's NPR's Linda Gradstein.
Suzanne Alam makes tea in her small kitchen in the Shati refugee camp in the Gaza Strip. A mother of nine, she says her family is simply unable to make ends meet. The refrigerator is empty except for a bag of green peppers. She says they exist on bread, which she bakes from flour supplied by international aid agencies, lentils, and tea. She last ate meat a month ago.
We depend on the support that we got from the Ministry of Social Affairs and the Palestinian Authority. But, I have children, and we cannot meet their needs.
Alam says that until 4 years ago, her husband was one of roughly 50,000 Palestinians who were able to freely cross the border from Gaza to work in Israel. But with the beginning of the Intifada in September 2000, that number has dropped to 10,000. Within the next few years, those jobs will be eliminated. James Wolfensohn, the head of the World Bank, recently visited Israel and the Palestinian territories. He presented a new report on the Palestinian economy that found that since September 2000, Palestinian GDP has declined by 35%. Wolfensohn recently told reporters half of all Palestinians live on less than $2 per day, and unemployment is more than 25%.
There is no question that the standard of living in Gaza and in the West Bank has dropped substantially, that the level of poverty is very high, that there are deep concerns about unemployment, and very often concerns about how to pay the bills each month.
The main reason for this, he said, is Israel's four-year-old policy of closure and curfews. Israeli officials say the closure is designed to stop Palestinian terrorists from entering Israel. One of those attacks was the reason given by Israel in September for closing an industrial zone located at the Erez crossing between Gaza and Israel that employed 5,000 Palestinians. Palestinian economist Mohammed Samhouri says the only hope for the Palestinian economy is a peace agreement with Israel that will lead to freedom of movement.
Removal of restrictions, checkpoints, better access to outside markets, that in itself will lead the private sector to reassess its position and invest and create jobs and provide income to the population.
Israeli government spokesman Daniel Seaman says Israel is aware of the Palestinian concerns. He believes that with the Israeli withdrawal, the Palestinians will be able to develop their own economy.
By giving the Palestinians the opportunity to fend for themselves, to engage in improving their own economy and concentrating on developing their life in an independent entity. And by this we mean that with the withdrawal, we're working very closely with the World Bank, that they'll take over the economic issues.
Seaman says Israel will relinquish some of Gaza's economic infrastructure to the World Bank, which will transfer it to Palestinian control. Israel has also said they will continue to supply water and electricity to Gaza even after the Israeli withdrawal later this year. Gaza's grids are connected to those of Israel, and it is almost impossible to separate them. But Jihad al-Wazir, deputy minister of planning in the Palestinian Authority, says this will be of little help.
Unless there is huge investment, massive investment in infrastructure, rebuilding, reconstruction, and unless part of the investment is to try to find external markets and to export and to become competitive. And this is a process that would take many years.
Linda Gradstein, NPR News.